This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Bulldog is describing to me a fun-sounding Bears play from yesterday that I missed. DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Walked off the field during a play.
Maybe, I don't know if maybe Sal saw this highlight, but yeah, Williams is scrambling wildly up near like the top of the screen, so near the Bears sideline. And he looks like maybe he's hemmed in, I don't know. Moore, you don't see him the whole time, but he looks like he comes back toward his quarterback, like help your quarterback out, right? Scramble drill type of thing. And I don't know what he saw that he didn't like or why. Maybe he thought his quarterback was about to be tackled. I don't know. But he's at the sideline, and then he just becomes the sideline. He walks off the field, arms at his sides, like the play's over. Except it's not. Williams is still alive. He scrambles all the way from that sideline to like near the middle of the field and then throws to the other sideline. I don't remember now if he completed that pass, but DJ Moore was like getting Gatorade by the time the ball was thrown. It was hilarious, unless you're a Bears fan, in which case you might be wondering, why is my highly paid receiver quitting on this play?
Sal, doesn't sound good.
I'm watching it right now. I mean, to me, it looks like he limps a little bit when he goes to the sideline, but and then he sits down, but I did not see anything on an injury report on him. The other thing I'm thinking is, did he step out of bounds and say, oh, crap, right? Like, but he can still come back in.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
It's an odd. I didn't think of an injury possibility.
Something was happening there with an injury maybe or something. I don't know.
Anthony Richardson would like to know why the standards are so different for quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This isn't a new thought when it comes to Josh Allen, but at one point yesterday I thought of Richardson, and I want to be careful with Richardson, you know? I mean, there's such talent there, and who knows what else might be going on, but it's a terrible run out for him if that one play, I mean, he wasn't doing well either, but just like the idea that he might be facing the end already with Indianapolis. But at the same time, there was a play where Allen got dinged running to the left, and he sort of grabbed his left thumb and he sort of waved off the sideline like, I'm good. And I thought of Richardson right there. Like, can you, what would Allen say in private to the idea of,
oh my gosh,
you know, a quarterback tapping out for one play? What would he, we know what like Eric and Ross Tucker and maybe like most players, you know, linemen would say, but like even Allen would be, yeah, dude, I mean, stay down if you have to.
Right. But what are you doing?
Right. Just never. Yeah. Right, Sal, you think?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I would think most players would. I was pretty stunned myself when I heard Anthony Richardson say that last week.
So let's start with today. Injury updates. Keon Coleman was the big one to find out like what maybe bad news there might be. Instead, we got what? We don't really know yet.
According to Sean McDermott, he is still getting tests. Ongoing evaluation of Keon Coleman. He said it's the wrist/hand area. Didn't get a specific on that. So nothing definitive yet. He said he'll know more tomorrow. So yeah, we still wait on that. I don't know.
I'm on edge about it.
He was in the locker room with a brace on yesterday. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you hope for the best here, right? But it's not a lot of feel good vibes here after seeing him walk off and them holding, you know, there's pictures and video holding the area of that wrist area, the hand area up, and then he had the brace on afterwards. So, you know, locker room, you hope for the best here, but you think that, you know, it could be something a little bit more fairly significant. We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, it's so tough, Sal. They've had you know, the Tennessee game with their full complement of guys, and then, you know, the Seattle game, and now we're back to, you know, like no Cooper yesterday. Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later. But now Coleman is, you know, we're wondering about that. And I was just starting to feel good about their passing offense overall, like that they could kind of, as the season goes on, get better at what they want to do and figure out really who and what they can be in the passing game. And you losing him, like, I felt like arrows were definitely pointing up with Coleman.
Oh, what a tie in here to Sal's column.
Sure. Yeah.
I work here.
Unfortunately, he got an arrow down for his drop by right. me yesterday after the game. But you're right. I mean, like, we've talked about it here the last couple of weeks, guys. He's getting better every week. I see improvement every week in a lot of different areas. Catching the ball, obviously, he had a couple. He had the drop last week. He had one a few weeks ago. But otherwise, I mean, he made a great catch, obviously, against Seattle. The blocking, just confidence off the line of scrimmage, the release, everything he's doing, the trust factor from Josh Allen, which, you know, he still went back to him, you know, after what happened, you know, early in the game yesterday. So, yeah, I agree with you. And then as far as the overall picture of the wide receiver room, Amari Cooper is day-to-day, according to Sean McDermott. So is Christian Benford. Both of them have wrist injuries as well. It is the year of the wrist injury. It is wild how many wrist injuries the Bills have, including DeJuan Smoot, who is going to have surgery on his wrist. He will go on IR, just like Dwayne Carter had surgery on his wrist and went on IR. So lots of wrist injuries, and the news we knew was more definitive on DeJuan Smoot today, not on Keon Coleman. And yeah, I mean, back to square one, the way you say that a little bit, you know, what they looked like a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, hopefully, knock on wood here, you have a healthy Khalil Shakir right now, which helps out. If you have Amari Cooper and Khalil Shakir, that helps out a lot. You still have some elevations remaining for Tyrell Shavers. They used Jalen Virgil in elevation yesterday. He only played a handful of snaps, got in early again. But you wonder, guys, if it is something significant to Keon mm-hmm. Coleman, does Brandon Bean look to bring in yet another wide receiver, as he's already done this season?
Yeah, there were people that were stumping for that even before Coleman or Cooper were even hurt. Like, keep going. Get another guy. Like, I kind of felt like my team's on the floor at that point myself. But if they get news on Coleman and the price is right somewhere, then maybe they will make a move. I wonder about Smoot, too, for this, Sal. Like, he's been, I think, like a nice depth piece. It's not like a lot of flash and dash. I compared him kind of to like a Shaq Lawson replacement an hour ago with Eric Wood, and Eric liked that comparison. Like, just sort of all around solid pro football player. And, you know, I wonder if they're going to feel a need to supplement their depth up front now with him out at least for 4 weeks at a minimum.
Yeah, I agree. These are decisions that have to be made in less than 23 hours. 4 p.m. tomorrow is the NFL trade deadline, and there's got to be some, you know, decisions made on how they want to proceed here at both positions. Wide receiver, as you mentioned, it's an area where even after the trade for Amari Cooper, there's still some clamoring for, hey, you might need to get even another person in here, because honestly, guys, I think the X factor here is Curtis Samuel. He's done nothing. If Curtis Samuel was having a nice season and doing the things we maybe expected, it wouldn't really be a discussion, but he's not. And it's very hard to understand mm-hmm. why he's not as involved. He's not as productive. Joe Brady was asked about that. I was on his Zoom call as well a little while ago, and he said it starts with him, and he knows he was fighting through the injury this week and still playing and, you know, being on the field and, you know, still doing everything he could do. But, you know, it's time at some point here for Curtis Samuel. And if that's not going to happen this year, you have to start looking at other alternatives to be on the field, even if that's outside the organization. And as far as defensive line is concerned, you get Von Miller back, but now you lose DeJuan Smoot. Is that a really nice year, and he's a really big piece of their, you know, upfront rotation. You add that to Dwayne Carter, and you add it to the fact that the Miami Dolphins, another team that, you know, ran pretty well on the Bills yesterday. So I wonder if they look up front at D-line and, you know, what the decisions are going to be made here over the next less than one day.
Not to go here after a win, and it was a great game. Kincaid, 10 targets in this game to easily lead the way. But there was some mistiming or just misthrows, one of the two, on a few passes to him. Is that something that you thought about, like whether communication is a question? I don't think we've had any questions. I haven't heard any about him this year when it comes to this. It's just been more about like usage and volume. But yesterday seemed a day where they were just not clicking.
Mike, I actually think yesterday, all around, we saw a few of that, a little bit of that. It wasn't just with him. I think it was the Dolphins emptied the tank on blitzes yesterday. They were really doing a lot of different things to the Bills, coming from different spots. I think they saw that the Bills had some trouble without Amari Cooper, right? I mean, go back to what the Bills were at wide receiver without Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. What did teams do? Blitz, get the ball out, try to see if guys can separate. And I think the Dolphins had that game plan yesterday. And they tried to disrupt Josh. They tried to make a mistake. Josh Allen, get him in a situation where he's going to give you the ball. Hurry up the throw. Maybe he runs out and you get the ball and he's going to take off so you can slap it out of his hands. You heard the defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver, talk about that this week. They go after the ball. He runs, holds it like a loaf of bread. Well, if you get him on the move and he's running, maybe you can do that. And if you can heat him up a little bit, I think they just really went after him. And I think the Bills kind of were, I hate saying taken by surprise. I mean, that's a euphemism sometimes for being unprepared. But I think the Dolphins had a lot of creativity yesterday is what I'd say. I think the Dolphins did some things maybe that they hadn't shown yet, and they really tried to empty the tank on both sides of the ball because they were so desperate. And I think that's what might have caused some of those timing issues.
Okay. So all that desperation gets them what? I mean, what a way to lose.
Yeah.
Tua's numbers. Like, they had such a look at it throughout this game.
Yep.
And then you end up with the Bass field goal. I mean, of all things, that's a long ride home. And that this is now another, unless there's a playoff meeting somehow, another year goes by, Sal, where the Dolphins just did not have the answers for the Bills.
It's truly unbelievable. They haven't won in Buffalo since 2016, the overtime game when Rex Ryan was the coach's last game as Buffalo Bills head coach. It's amazing. They've won 13 out of 14, the Bills. And you're right, Mike. You look at it, in most of those games, it's been kind of uncompetitive, at least late in the game, right? And Josh Allen's just owned them. He's won 5 Player of the Week awards after playing the Miami Dolphins. In this one, the Dolphins played well. I love their game plan on both sides of the ball. I love what they did on offense. I thought that was very smart. I said to you guys all week, what are they going to want to do? Run the ball, right? Run the ball. That was the plan. That's the path to victory. Run the ball in quick game. That's what we knew was going to happen. It's exactly what they did. But they were so effective at it. You know, to me, I felt, okay, the Bills know this. They're going to be able to stop that. But they did a great job. They had wide receivers and tight ends blocking downfield in the screen game. They were able to get on the edge on the Bills. They had some great concepts running the ball. And, man, they did everything they were supposed to do to win this game. And Tua was really, really good. 25 of 28, he couldn't miss. And yet it's still not enough at the end of the day. One turnover really kills him early on in the half. You know, the Dolphins, the Bills could not get anything going in the first half on offense, as we know. They had 6 points. And the Dolphins didn't really take advantage. It was 10-6 at halftime. And it really, at halftime, I said, this just feels like a Tennessee or Arizona game where you should have put this team away because they're going to come out in the second half and be better. And they were. The Bills scored 3 straight touchdowns in the second half.
Right. And that started, of course, with the Taron Johnson punch out on Mostert on Miami's first possession of that half. And, yeah, It was an odd game that way. There just was not. It ended up pretty high scoring. 30-27 is it's a righteous total, but it was like not a lot of possessions. You know, like the possessions were all productive and somewhat long.
It was a quick game. I don't know. It was the first half lasted less than an hour. I think.
I couldn't believe how fast the first quarter went. Yeah,
it was unbelievable, and that's because what you said. It was proficient. There were not a lot of incompletions on either side. I mean, Josh was 64%. Tua was whatever, 25 of 28. He's like 90%, whatever that is. There weren't a lot of incompletions. There wasn't a lot of stoppage. They just they ran the ball well, both teams, and they just kept going. There weren't a ton of penalties. There were some critical ones, but not a ton of penalties. So, yeah, I just think yesterday was a day where the Miami Dolphins season was on the line effectively, right? I mean, they were 2-5 coming into the game. They had to get this one. Getting swept by the Bills, another conference loss for tiebreakers with other teams down the road, and they did everything they could. And they were undermanned on defense, and they were still able to kind of do some things until the Bills got it going a little bit there, mostly in the second half. But offensively, I think they played a really good game. They gave the Bills their best shot, and they still lost.
Sal, how about the end of the game for you? Was it a no-brainer to you that they're going to try a 61-yard field goal? Like, that seemed certainly out of what my expectation for Bass's range would have been. Like, were you was your was your mind spinning? Like, what are they going to do here? Third down, fourth down. They ended up trying the field goal. Obviously, it paid off. Bass made it. New Bills record and all that. But it was, I don't know. I don't think it had to be a certainty that they would try that kick.
I felt he would try it once it got down to the time it was. Because to me, the smart play was, and I figured, okay, I think Sean's going to realize here, the risk is not as much as the reward. The reward is way greater. They can make this kick and win the game. If he misses, they're going to leave him time for one play, really. Now, maybe time for two if they could get something out quickly and call timeout. But I thought once they got down to where they were on the clock, I thought we're going to see Tyler Bass come out here and try this, and that's what they did. Now, certainly did I think, yeah, he may opt to, we just have to go to overtime here. Sure. I mean, that's going through my mind as they're going down the field. Once they got it to where they got it at the field, on the field, I'm thinking clock here now. If you get this down to 10 seconds or so, you kick this field goal. Because even if you miss it, yeah, they get it at the 49-yard line. Either A, they're going to throw a Hail Mary, or they're going to try one play. So I think you take that risk. You take that risk, and that's exactly what he did. And I would say, I think the clock management leading up to that was very good by Sean McDermott. He took his timeouts on defense, including a challenge, by the way, which I know there's been some debate on the challenge. And I even gave him a narrow down on the challenge, thinking, okay, that looked like, you know, you knew you weren't going to get it overturned. But the more I think about it, I think what he thought was, look, if I win this challenge, we win the game. If I lose it, I'm calling timeout anyway here on this drive because I'm trying to stop them and I'm trying to conserve some time. So I don't think he really cared about necessarily losing the timeout if he had to in that situation. And then he called a couple more timeouts. Miami scores, and they have enough time now to go down and do what they did. And I thought that was really good game management at the end of the game, other than actually allowing the touchdown.
All right. We'll talk about Indianapolis later in the week. Kansas City tonight against Tampa, you give the Bucs any shot?
No. I would if they had Godwin and Evans. Is Evans out too, Mike? Tell me. I think he is. I don't even know. Yes. Yeah, I mean, there you go.
They might not have McMillan either, Sal. The rookie from Washington who kind of stepped in. He wasn't hugely productive last week, but he's next after Evans and Godwin, and he's questionable. They called somebody up off the practice squad. You know what that means. There's also an injury to Shepard, so one of them is probably going to miss at least.
They're bad on defense. The Chiefs are starting to get a little bit better on offense. They've scored like 27, 28 points each of the last 3 weeks, something like that. I don't expect them necessarily to, I mean, maybe they can get to, you know, over 30 or something or 40 points because teams have. Buccaneers play some high scoring games. But if the Buccaneers had those guys at wide receiver, I would give them a puncher's chance because I think they would just let it all hang out. And Baker, you never know. He's good for a few big plays. I just don't see where their big players are going to come from against a very good Chiefs defense now, considering what they have. And I think the Chiefs will be able to score on them.
Thunderstorms tonight there, by the way.
Well, that could change things. I've been in some thunderstorms in Kansas City at Arrowhead, by the way.
The Midwestern thunderstorms. Yeah. More before the game, but into like warm-ups. Than during. But anyway, that's in the forecast. Windy.
Are we looking at a delayed start?
Yeah, maybe. Right. Like the opener, right? The first game of the year was delayed quite a long time, as it turned out.
Was it really?
Yeah, the game. Yeah. The
Ravens?
Ravens and them, yeah. Like
Dallas-Pittsburgh, I know, went.
Like almost an hour, I think they went. Or no, the Dallas-Pittsburgh one was longer, but this got pushed back quite a bit on opening night.
Not windy, but chance of storms.
So the best I can do here then is hope for KC to just have a game where afterward everyone's like, how do you let that team walk into your building and do that? Like, that's where I'm at. Can I get a sleepwalking Kansas City, please? Maybe that's bad enough for them to lose to Tampa.
Good luck.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I think the best thing you hope for is the Buccaneers do have a kind of defense that can make a play or two on you once in a while. You know, you make a play here, you make a play there, suddenly, and maybe you walk out of the game. Even if the Chiefs win, you're like, man, yes, I know they're undefeated, but they keep winning these games against these teams that they shouldn't be, like, they're holding with them. And it gives you just more fuel to how good really are they question, right?
9:45 tonight. Sal, thank you. The party you'll be at, it'll be more fun if the Chiefs get down.
This is Eric Wood's fundraiser we attend every year. It's a great cause for the Evan Wood Foundation over at Oshai. We'll be headed over there tonight. Always love going to this event, but it's funny, last year, I believe it happened on a night where the Chiefs were playing the Raiders on Monday night, or the year before that. And remember, the Raiders had a nice lead, and the Chiefs came back. It was the one where Devontae Adams had the encounter with the photographer at the end of the game.
Yeah,
I remember watching that, and everybody's like, oh my God, like the Chiefs could lose this game. And then the Chiefs didn't lose the game.
Two years ago, I think, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Last year, the Raiders won in Kansas City on Christmas.
That's right, on Christmas.
All right. Have a great time, Sal. Thank you.
Happy drumming, Sal. Good luck out there.
You got it, guys. Always my chance to step up on stage. Right. Thanks.
That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
The NFL today flexed out the Jets. Believe it or not. Read the room, right, NFL? Right. And they do, and they flex out the Jets. The impossible. So I think it probably goes along with Indianapolis being moved in last night. That game was flexed in for the Jacksonville-Philadelphia game. In 2 weeks, week 11, it was supposed to be Colts-Jets on Sunday Night Football, and they're going to spare us that. So that game has been moved to 1 o'clock, and instead it'll be Cincinnati at the Chargers. That's a big upgrade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
The Bengals are, I haven't looked, I would guess they're minus money to make the playoffs. Up to 4-5.
4-5, yep.
Right, their bye hasn't happened yet. 4-5, Denver 5-4, come on.
Yeah, that's doable for them. And the Chargers, like, they're suddenly Justin Herbert, like, I don't know, somebody must have told them or him that people are starting to wonder whether he deserved to be mentioned in this great, like, class of young AFC quarterbacks, because he's starting to kind of throw it all over the place.
Yeah, it's cool that the team has made that move, right? Without obvious weapons, but McConkey is good.
Yes, and Quentin Johnson.
Johnson is happening. Yeah. He's back yesterday and made a big play, so kind of like busted coverages, but
those count. And
ended up being an easy win at Cleveland. Defensively, they were like really good, it seems. So, yeah, I think the Chargers definitely, they always have been minus money to make it, which has been interesting to monitor all year. Like, really? They're going to be good enough to get in? Mm-hmm. But we've talked about it all the time. Like, the AFC will have one or two pretty iffy-looking playoff teams, you know, relatively speaking. Maybe that's always true. These Pittsburgh teams have been
right,
flat out iffy. Flat out.
They're iffier, so iffy. Iffier than iffy.
It's dark out at 5:25 as we go to break.
Yeah.
We've gotten to that point.
Welcome to the long, cold dark, everyone.
Fall back.
Here we are.
I did not know we were falling back. It's the first time in maybe my entire life.
You and my parents didn't know we were falling back.
I woke up like I do every night at 4 a.m. and it was 3 on my phone. Like, why is my phone in the kitchen? Okay, I thought it was next week.
Yeah.
Never mentioned it last week. Never realized it was this week. That's bad.
Yeah.
You should always know.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, easy for me to say. Yeah.
My wife didn't either.
I did know.
She was in the kitchen and I mentioned, you know, daylight savings, like I was the one who knew, uh-huh. even though I just knew 6 hours ago. So she said, what? What time is it? What time is it right now? I said, 9. And then she said, what time was it at this time yesterday? Which is the greatest question I've ever heard. And I said, 10. And she's like, okay, starting to make sense.
I understand how this works now.
It's starting to make sense.
Well, I got a message from my parents yesterday at about 12:45. I didn't see the phone or hear the phone ringing, but, you know, a few minutes after, I noticed, oh, voicemail from mom and dad. I guess I'll give them a call before the Bills game starts, see what's going on. The message from my mom was just like, hi, we're watching the TV. We can't find the Bills. I don't know. There's some infomercial or something on. Can you give me a call? I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, I called back. I'm like, it's 12:45. That's what's going on. You guys missed a memo.
Daylight savings.
He did not know it was time to
turn. I enjoyed not knowing. I enjoyed the moment realizing, oh, I got an extra hour. That's great.
I knew about it, but I kind of forgot. I went to bed, woke up at like 1:30, and then fell back asleep. And it felt like I'd been asleep a really long time. And then when I woke up again, it was like 3:30. And I just thought, like, how did that? I've been asleep for a while here. I gained an hour.
We need to get better sleep.
I think that changes at 2, I think, is the time that it actually hits.
Like, yes,
I think
2 turns to 1.
The devices, yeah. Right.
Yep.
So.
Okay, now that that's been discussed, 803-0550, Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get to northwest.com. Takeaways from yesterday, Tyler Bass, the injury to Coleman, Jordan Poyer's hit on Coleman, which was a couple things, dirty and really, really dumb. For the Dolphins, who were probably getting the ball back without it in the final minute in a tie. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after the sports update. This is WGR.
It's a combination of things. You know, a lot of it is me, naturally. I told Curtis after the game, I know he was obviously hurting, obviously pushing through a lot of things, but for him to be out there just makes my life a lot easier because I got to respect that. It was one of those things, like, I knew he'd be on a pitch count. I knew it wasn't going to be, you know, anything like, wow, look at what Curtis is able to do today. But just him being out there, you know, there is a speed element. There is a big playability that teams have to worry about, especially with Coop being down. So I was proud of that. Can't get everybody touchdowns, but love to be able to get him more involved. Been saying it, got to continue to do it.
Joe Brady, do you think that actually checks out? I mean, he says a lot of things like this about what actually happened on the field. If we watch the tape of this game, did Miami have to especially defend against the possibility of Curtis Samuel hitting them for a big one? Like, when did they bracket Curtis Samuel? And like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't.
He's not going to. He doesn't want to. They never want to embarrass the guy, give you like sort of the hard truth when somebody doesn't produce. But this guy goes so far. It's like a little bit only worse last year. I mean, it might have been Brady, too, but the Bills talking about Diggs getting doubled, and he just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, we can find this stuff out, actually.
Yeah.
You think that he played 17 snaps?
Right.
If it was so important to free up Miami's defense, to open up Miami's defense, why didn't he play all of them?
Right.
I don't know.
None of it really adds up. I think right now, especially, not that you need this explained to you, but, like, he's going to stick up for that guy more than ever now because they might really need him. Like Sal was saying last segment, you know, if Coleman is down for, I mean, hell, if Coleman's down for a week even, but, you know, I'm bracing for that to be worse than that, certainly. I'd be stunned if we came out of this with him day to day. Then, you know, you're going to need something from somebody you haven't been getting much at all from. Maybe, anyway. Otherwise, you're right back where you were before you traded for Cooper, you know, and like, it's a tough place to be. I mean, you do have Cooper instead of Coleman, and that's a different player and a more accomplished player and capable of creating separation in a way that they did not have on the roster prior to his arrival. So you're better off than you were without him, but you're still losing another guy that's starting to produce for you and starting to matter for you. And Samuel, yeah, I mean, the way I talked when he was missing and on the injury report was, I don't even think about him. I just don't. As a fan, someone who talks about them for 20 hours or more a week for a living, I just don't find myself ever thinking about, oh, is he healthy? Because they have not found a way to make it work at all. He's a non-entity.
Well, I mean, yes, that's he hasn't produced at all. It can, you'd agree, it can be the kind of thing where if a receiver, if any player, but a receiver gets hurt in camp, first year with a new team, a lot of competition for targets, he gets hurt that Pittsburgh week in the summer, and right away his season, he's behind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was hurt again, the you know, a quad, was it, or no? Couple weeks
same
ago,
the toe again. I think
was
it was.
It?
I thought it was a.
Oh, I thought it was something.
I don't
else.
Know if it was a reoccurrence, the exact injury, but I thought it was a toe again, foot toe okay. slash toe. I thought, but
not sure. Maybe, but still, like whether it's a different injury or not.
Yeah.
Then you're just really these. What did we do with Gabe Davis 2 years ago? He didn't produce, and we talked about him this way all season. Like, what's where's the guy from 13 seconds? Where's Gabe? Where's big game? Gabe or whatever, like
hurt his ankle in week two.
Oh, well, he hurt his ankle in week two, and therefore he could not produce all year.
Right.
Which yeah, I didn't really want to buy that fully, but I do think there is some merit to that.
It can happen. And I appreciate you making the effort here. That very well could be what happened. But I feel like this guy showed up with a familiarity with Brady's offense and how Brady wanted to utilize him. Like that was, I thought, a part of the appeal of him was familiarity. His best year as a pro came with Brady in this style of offense or doing the sorts of things that Brady's going to ask him to do here. So, I mean, that doesn't cover the whole playbook, but I feel like a guy that's been around as long as he's been around, even being hurt, you should be able to go over the stuff and know what the hell you're supposed to be doing. So I don't know if I don't know how much water, in my opinion, that holds. I would prefer it to be the case because otherwise it's a mystery. Like it doesn't make sense that they sought this player out for his skill set and just have not really utilized it. At all is an exaggeration, but I mean, 17 snaps speaks for itself.
Not a day without Cooper.
Right, right.
Well, they're about to face one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Well, really worse against the run, but 29th in yards allowed, Indianapolis. And so here's a chance for the Bills to, I don't know, to put it one way, get away with some injuries at that position. Should be able to do a lot against the Colts,
mm-hmm.
it seems. And I don't know how dangerous they are either. Everybody wants to run on the Bills. The Dolphins did pretty well at it. They could have won the game.
Everybody wants to run on the Bills, and I think the Bills want everyone to run on them. Like I know you want to be better. I'm sure they said all the stuff that you would normally say about it today after Miami gashed them. You know, gap discipline and rally to the ball and do your job and 1-11th and all the stuff that you normally hear. I think the Bills by trade, they are just not, they're not going to take the bait, especially against that team yesterday. It was closer than you would like it to be. Obviously, you needed a 61-yard field goal at the gun just about to get that thing home. But their approach is, you're not getting over the top of us. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are not getting over the top of us. And so go ahead and run it. We're going to let you run it. And we'll hope that at some point, one of our guys, Taron Johnson, will punch the ball out and we'll recover it. And like that maybe that's the biggest play of the game. You know, like that's a stop. And you get your first lead of the game after that, and you never trailed again.
I'll tell you what, for me, and I would like to maybe go into this a little longer, because there are still traces of Sean McDermott, the challenge play, game management stuff, and we had a conversation about this earlier today that we talked about whether it would be like the topic if they miss the field goal, the Dolphins win the coin toss and score, right? And then mm-hmm. you lost. Wasn't so far away from happening. You know me. Think about Miami in this game. So they haven't beaten the Bills in approximately 38 years. This is big. This is their season. Everything, all of it. This is their season, and they're playing the team they can't beat. Third and one from the 20. Fourth and two from the 21. Late first quarter. Kick it. Congarts. 12-10, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Fourth and four from the five. Kick it. Congarts again. Two wimpy field goals. What is your thing here? Why do you exist, Miami? It was so old Billsy.
Yeah.
Like, you are an underdog. You can't beat these people. Your season is riding on this, and you're kicking two field goals from inside the... Well, that was the first one. The first one was farther out. The second one was fourth and four. The 21, and then the five-yard line. Fourth and two from the 21. I mean, you deserve to lose. How do you not come here as that team with your quarterback back, HN's healthy, Hill and Waddle, you got all your parts, and sort of just wimp out for these field goals?
Do you not have something?
I thought you were cool.
Don't you have something hidden in the bag for this exact moment, Mike McDaniel, with your sweatpants rolled up over your calves?
I thought you were supposed to be cool, you know? Like, this was...
Cheap shot.
That's what a cool team would do, is you make one of those, you're coming out ahead from kicking twice. Yep. One touchdown, you make your extra point, is better than two field goals. I don't just... Hate it. So we've got anything that ever happens, it's like, oh, McDermott. You don't have him doing this in this game.
No, they scored a touchdown on fourth and one. The Bills yesterday. The Hollins play was a fourth down, right?
Fourth and, was it last week too with Coleman?
Yes.
Well, it's even a pass.
I don't remember the call, but yeah, yesterday for sure. And the first Miami game, the first Cook pass was a fourth and goal or fourth and one at the wherever.
Well, how about that, sports fans?
They've done it. They've been, you know,
other teams.
They win these games, so we never talk about them. But they've been doing it pretty regularly.
Other teams apparently are able to kick wimpy field goals, and here's one that did it with super high stakes. As an underdog, everything I just said like four times. These are the edges, you know? These are the kinds of things McDermott has largely gotten right. Fourth down, he doesn't look bad in that statistic over the years. He's got Allen, but the Dolphins are not the Patriots here. Like, they've got capable people who are having a good day offensively, and he was just happy to take two short field goals on fourth and short.
Maybe the style of the quarterbacks is the biggest thing there. I wonder if McDaniel would ever tell you. Like, if I had that guy, I'd go on fourth down all the time. I would have gone for those. I don't have a quarterback that can run.
Well, still, that's not good enough.
No, I agree. I'm just pointing it out.
And when he had to have the fourth down later, that's the challenge play. He got it. It was fourth and four, and they're down seven. That's very early in the fourth quarter. Like, the game wasn't on the line there, but he went for it on that one at least and scored a touchdown two plays later. 803-0550, Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back, Football Monday. Keep it short here and then stretch out after the next update. College basketball tonight. UB is home at 7. Niagara's home at 6:30. Welcome back, College Hoops.
Canisius is at number 10, Arizona, tonight as well.
It's got to be late.
Yeah. But that's happening.
Can't bet it.
We don't have that game on any of our stations, so I guess it's not been mentioned. But
you also can't bet it.
That's right.
New York teams. You can't bet New York teams in New York.
Went to Pennsylvania.
I'm thinking of doing that tonight.
Yeah?
Just taking a quick jump over to Pennsylvania to bet the Griffs.
Yeah. Might be worth it.
See how it goes. I'll let you know. Feeling a little bit running hot with our survivor luck yesterday. By our, I mean myself and Trista. We have an entry in Joe Ostrowski's pool. And when the news yesterday morning on Jermaine Burton broke that the Bengals would not activate him, they started to talk like they built their game plan around him, knowing that T. Higgins wouldn't play, but he wouldn't take their calls or respond or show up on Saturday. So there goes that, and she and I were on Cincinnati. So I texted her, and I just knew immediately this was bad. You don't want to do this. This is overthinking.
Right.
Are you a little bit spooked about Cincinnati now? And she said, 100%. So I said, well, the line actually went up. The line went to 8. So okay. The betting markets were not deterred.
No, not freaked out at all. Right.
And so I said, you know what? I could do Cincinnati or Philadelphia. I don't want the Bills. I don't have a great feeling about it. And I don't want, I don't know, whoever else was a big favorite. The two I liked, one of them, the Ravens, we already used. Washington, we already used. So, since Trista.
Chiefs are a big favorite tonight, if you didn't
Chiefs, use them. Chiefs, yep. I don't love that either. I said, I'll do Cincinnati or Philadelphia. She goes, I want to be on the Rams. I said, the Rams? They're a 1-point. I had to call her. They're a 1-point favorite. She's like, I don't care. The betting markets haven't given them enough respect. They easily win. Well, they did not easily win.
Right.
But they did win.
They did win, yes.
So that was an escape.
Man, there were some throws and some catches in this week. Starting with Garrett Wilson on Thursday night. That catch was incredible. The catch that the Rams guy, was it Robinson?
Yeah.
To win the game was amazing. Devontae Smith in Philadelphia was out of this world, that catch. I just stunning. You've seen some really great stuff.
It's easy now.
Yep.
The gloves.
Yep. It's all the gloves.
It's all the, just like we saw, Diggs showed up, catches everything. Like, look at the gloves. The gloves must be, nobody talks about the gloves. Do athletes get better and are they amazing? Yes. Whoever drops a pass. Somebody's got to tell Cook about these gloves.
Coleman, too.
Sorry,
everyone.
Sorry.
He's hurt. Too soon.
I'm sorry, too.
I apologize.
Everybody catches everything. Watch Jefferson. Just somehow he's open all the time, catches everything, even though he's so good and everybody knows it. All right. Somewhat kidding. But I bet the gloves are pretty nice.
Make it a lot easier.
One-handed catches everywhere.
Gloves are a huge factor. We're fooling around here, but they are. I don't think anyone would deny it. They're a tremendous advantage over our forefathers.
Let's have one week where you can't wear the gloves. How bad would it be? Would guys just not know how to catch passes?
Some would not know how to catch passes, I think.
803-0550, Bills over the Dolphins again. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.